Father, on this beautiful Sabbath, we come into your presence. Thank you for inviting us, and we pray that you'll accept our worship and our gifts and our praise through the merits of Jesus, our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading will be found at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 30. It's 1 Corinthians 11. 27 through 30, I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Do we have a special music today? Then we will continue, proceed to the pastor's sermon.
That's a sobering passage, isn't it? Have you ever wished that you could go back and change things? You wish you had a button that you could just kind of reverse the time for a few minutes or a few hours? Well, I haven't found that button yet either. In California, you ever heard of Weimar Institute? I was the pastor of the two churches, one on each side of Weimar Institute. And they had one program that was the mainstay of Weimar Institute, and it was called, do you know what it was called? New Start. And sometimes we wish we could have a new start, don't we? Well, the New Start program was especially for people who had, and I use the term, maybe it's not a good Adventist term, but lived high on the hog for a while. And their health was gone. And so they went to the New Start program, and there were people who couldn't walk. And after 3 weeks at the New Start program, they were able to walk around the block and get off of most of their medications, because a lot of it was lifestyle problems. And some of us probably have some lifestyle problems that we need to take care of. But the new start that most of us really want or need is a spiritual one. And God has given us two services that give us that opportunity. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The first few verses. Paul is talking about the gospel and how the gospel gives us salvation, and the grace of Jesus is made to be more visible or more greater because of our sin. So he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We did what? Died to sin. Did we? We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So when we're baptized, it's a symbol of death and burial. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may do what? Live a new life. There's our new start. When a person is on death row and they've murdered someone and they're on death row, and I guess Saddam Hussein had that experience not long ago. Once that person is executed, does the law have anything more to say to them? No. They've paid their debt. They can't come back and do anything else. They've paid their debt. They're dead. They're gone. They paid with their life for their sin. What does the law condemn? The law condemns sin. It can't save us. All it can do is condemn us for our sin. We're all on death row. Unless we're pardoned by Jesus. We're all on death row. Unless pardoned by Jesus. Ephesians says, Paul says that by nature we were children of wrath. By our very nature we're on death row. Because our nature is so twisted and sinful and selfish. So by our very nature, we're on death row. Until we come to Jesus. And what new start does he give us? Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into whose death? His death. So when Jesus died on the cross, who died? We all did. If we accept it by faith. When you were baptized, that was your execution. Actually, you were executed with Jesus. In the baptism, you say, I accept that I was executed with Jesus. And now I'm free to be a new person. Because that old person is dead and buried, and now I'm a new person. So baptism is the new beginning. You know that button that we wish we had that we could push and go back and do it over? Well, we can't really go back and do it over. Ellen White talks about redeeming the time by making the most of the time that's left, by at least doing it right from here on, by God's grace. But baptism is a symbol that we died with Christ, and we accept that. And now we begin a new life. Go with me to John chapter 13. In the first part of the chapter, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So the context, John is putting in the context that Jesus knows that he's about to return to the Father, to sit on the throne of glory, not be a servant. Be a high priest, which is a servant. but not in this sense. Knowing where he's going, where he came from, and where he's going back to, he loved his own. He loved his disciples. His 12, who had been bickering and arguing about who was the greatest. He shows them his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. In the Sabbath school lesson this morning, Cece was bringing out about Solomon and his power and how it turned his head. And here Jesus did the opposite. He knew where he was going. He knew that everything was under his power, under his control. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." What was Peter asking for? A bath or rebaptism? He didn't realize the full significance of what he was saying. Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet." What is the bath? Baptism. He who has had a bath only needs to wash his feet. What was the significance of the washing of the feet? A renewal. A renewal of the bath. They'd had their bath, they'd walked on the dusty streets in their sandals, and they'd come to someone's house, and it was a renewal of their bath, their cleansing. And so since they'd already had a bath, they only needed to wash their feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean. So if we have committed our life to Jesus and been baptized, then we're clean. But if in our daily walk, which we do with our sinful nature, we sin against Jesus or against one another, we make mistakes, we pick up the dust on our feet, so to speak, of our daily experience, then we only need to wash our feet. But you are clean. Though not of every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. For that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Now, if our Sunday brethren had this passage, Jesus said, I've kept Sunday and you ought to do as I've done, it'd be a closed case, wouldn't it? I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. It's fascinating that many Christians ignore this passage, where Jesus clearly says, I've given you an example, do what I did. Do it to one another. And I'll bless you for doing it. So today, we have another new start. The baptism is the big one. The foot washing is the little one. The renewal, the updating of our experience. It's the renewing of the covenant. And this is the covenant meal. And the foot washing is a renewal of our experience and our preparation for taking the covenant meal. And that's what Jesus gave us, to give us an opportunity to start again. So today, as we wash one another's feet, let's pray one for another, that the Lord will wash us clean, and that when we come back together, we can partake of the emblems of the body and blood of Jesus, the communion or the covenant supper, with clean hands and a pure heart, with a new start. We'll separate at this time. We have open communion. The Bible tells us that when they had sung a hymn, they went out. Our hymn, I Gave My Life for Thee. We'll stand and sing through the hymn. The elders and I will go out at the end of the second verse.